Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, July the 9th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sithandekile Mhlanga.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Scores of people were arrested in Harare today as street vendors resisted eviction from illegal trading sites.
They beat up the people who were guiding that place. Also, they took our goods. There was one person who was injured and was lying bleeding.
Lawmakers say Studio 7 is getting popular in Zimbabwe as the nation struggles to license community radio stations.
The effectiveness of pirate radio stations, VOA 2.7, the thing is that this is because of the absence of community radio stations. They are very popular in rural areas.
And the United States says it remains deeply concerned about the disappearance of Occupy African Unity Square leader Itai Dzamara, who was allegedly abducted by unknown assailants exactly 4 months ago.
These stories and much, much more coming up.
Scores of people were arrested in Harare today as street vendors resisted eviction from illegal trading sites in a crackdown being spearheaded by the Harare municipality. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi reports from Harare.
Municipal police destroyed market stalls early this morning and allegedly looted some vendors' wares as the local authorities' eviction of illegal street traders entered its second day. One of the street vendors, Peter Jack, who is also the chairperson of the Mobile Youth Foundation, told Studio 7 that most of the traders only arrived at their respective vending points only to find their tents and stores destroyed, leaving them without any means of making money.
They beat up the people who were guiding that place. Also, they took our goods. There was one person who was injured and was lying bleeding. But they couldn't let us take that person to the hospital. They took them all to the police.
Jack said indications are that more than 70 vendors were arrested in the crackdown and are being detained at Harare Central Police Station as they resisted the evictions. Police could not immediately respond to the inquiries on these arrests. Jack vowed that vendors would return to the street pavements tomorrow to sell their wares, saying vending was their only source of livelihood.
We are going to return to our vending point starting tomorrow. We are going to, we are actually looking forward that we are going to hold some demonstration against the council.
Another vendor, Lucy Makunde, who doubles as the administrator of the National Vendors Union of Zimbabwe, said today's alleged attacks on vendors by municipal police warranted some court action.
We want to sue council. I think that's the way forward, because what they are doing is not good.
Promise Mukwananzi, programs coordinator of the Zimbabwe Informal Sector Organization, condemned the heavy-handedness of the municipal police, saying their actions violated the rights of the street traders.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms and with utter disgust the gross violation of human rights that we've witnessed today.
However, council spokesperson Michael Chideme refuted allegations leveled against municipal police, adding that his officers acted professionally. He said council was determined to ensure that there was order in the city and will not stop relocating the traders to designated vending sites, although the vendors alleged that the new vending points are dusty and not enough to cater for all illegal informal traders in Harare Central Business District.
Our municipal police did not use maximum force. All they did was to make sure that the informal sector moves away from the illegal vending sites.
Studio 7 failed to get a comment from local government minister Xavier Kasukwere, who repeatedly claimed that he was in meetings. The government says the relocation of vendors to new sites is designed to clean up the city, which has over the years been invaded by people selling various goods. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Lawmakers from Parliament's Media and Information Portfolio Committee today rapped the Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe, or BAZ, for failing to license community radio stations, saying this was increasing the popularity of the Voice of America Studio 7 and others that broadcast from outside the country. Ivan Chifera attended the parliamentary session and filed this report.
Members of the committee were disappointed by BAZ Chief Executive Officer Obet Maganyura's presentation when he told them that BAZ had shelved the licensing of community radio stations in order to first complete the local digitization process. Maganyura said BAZ has been tasked by government to coordinate the digital broadcasting migration, and it was therefore unable to license community radio stations at least until March 2016. This did not go down well with Makonde lawmaker Kindness Paradza, who told him the absence of community radio stations was increasing Studio 7's popularity throughout the country.
The effectiveness of pirate radio stations, UOA Studio 7, don't you think it's bad that this is because of the absence of community radio stations? They are very popular in the rural areas, and people listen to them. And ZBC, because of transmission problems, is not able to reach all these other areas.
Uzumba lawmaker Simbane Otamudarikwa bemoaned the delay in the licensing of community radio stations. He said in his constituency, people relied on foreign radio stations as they cannot access local radio stations.
We rely on Mozambique, Mama Zamjinumbe, because I think their equipment is better than yours. And also, your equipment relies on ZESA. You read about load shedding, that there have been so many days when there is no electricity, so you are just broadcasting to yourself in your house.
Muganyura admitted that lack of transmission in all parts of the country by the local broadcasters had created an enabling environment for foreign radio stations. He said this would be addressed through digitization, which would see the erection of 48 transmitters to cover the whole country.
We are going to renew the FM national transmission network. We are going to deploy new equipment.
He expressed optimism that they would soon get equipment to monitor all broadcasts in the country. He also pointed out that television stations such as Yada, run by Walter Magaya of Prophetic Healing and Deliverance Ministries, were illegal as they are not registered with BAZ. But Gutu South lawmaker Paul Chimeza said it was no longer necessary for BAZ to seek to control broadcasting, but should adjust to the advanced technology which now allow people to broadcast from anywhere. Muganyura described the 28 community radio initiatives in the country as groupings without any legal standing, but lawmakers objected, saying these were genuine initiatives that were being frustrated by BAZ. Chairman of the Zimbabwe Association of Community Radio Stations, Gift Mambipiri, told Studio 7 that failure by BAZ to license a single community radio station since its inception in 2001 is a clear indication of lack of seriousness on its part.
What they just said there is simply acceptance that they don't want to license community radio stations.
Zimbabwe has a three-tier broadcasting system comprising national, local, commercial, and community broadcasting. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
The United States says it remains deeply concerned about the disappearance of Occupy Africa Unit Square leader Itai Dzamara, who was allegedly abducted by unknown assailants exactly 4 months ago. In a statement today, the U.S. Embassy in Harare said it is worried about Zamara's well-being and apparent lack of progress by Zimbabwean authorities in their investigation. The U.S. called for Zamara's immediate and safe return to his family and friends, adding that America stands together with the missing activists and the people of Zimbabwe in supporting their right to freedom of expression and peaceful assembly. The High Court ordered the government to find Zamara. His colleague Charles Nyoni tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube they believe that Dzamara is still alive.
It's a sad thing that today marks 4 months after the disappearance of Mr. Itai Dzamara, but we are not deterred by that. Neither are we moved from keeping on pushing for Robert Mugabe to leave the office. We are still occupying Africa in its state and still pushing up issues that affect Zimbabwe.
Don't you fear for your lives as well there at Africa Unity Square?
Fear is a syndrome that is affecting the entire nation of Zimbabwe, but that will not stop us from pursuing our goals and our dreams, because everyone is afraid here in Zimbabwe. But we want to budge. We will still pursue where Itai Dzamara left us.
What are your hopes about Itai Dzamara?
Yes, we certainly do. We hope that those who borrowed him and forgot to return him will deliver to him to us back shortly, in good and in one piece.
What makes you believe that, he's still alive?
Well, judging by their usual methods, by now though they have discarded the body. But the mere fact that they haven't made up their minds what to do with him, it shows that they are in a quadrum right now what to do with it. Okay? So the only way and the only solution that they have left is for them to just return him back.
That was Charles Inyoni of Occupy Africa Unity Square speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare. The European Union and several nations have voiced the concern over the disappearance of Dzamara, whose group is calling for the resignation of President Robert Mugabe.
President Robert Mugabe is tomorrow expected to address the United Nations International Ebola Recovery Conference. During the official opening of the conference focused on investment for Ebola recovery response, Mr. Mugabe, who chairs both the African Union and Southern African Development Community, will be speaking in his capacity as AU chair. The conference, which is focusing on international attention on targeted investments to support recovery priorities, began today with thematic sessions and presentations from various stakeholders, including United Nations Development Programme and the World Health Organization.
Meanwhile, the MDC formation, led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, said in a statement released today, it is deeply appalled by Mr. Mugabe's decision to embark on another costly and completely unnecessary jamboree to New York to attend the Ebola conference. The MDC urged Mr. Mugabe to spend more time at his Munumutapa building offices, crafting and implementing workable and viable economic policies. Mr. Mugabe, since the beginning of the year, has traveled to over 10 countries for domestic, regional, and SADC and AU business.
At the same time, 20,000 Tokwe Mokose flood victims have petitioned Mr. Mugabe, accusing his government of abandoning them and his cabinet ministers of repeatedly breaking promises to address their concerns since 2013. The petition was delivered Wednesday to the president's Monomotapa offices in Harare, urging him to visit Nyuwanyeti Ranch, where they have been resettled. Efforts to get a comment from Mr. Mugabe's spokesman, George Charamba, who is currently in New York for an Ebola conference with the president, were futile as his mobile phone went unanswered. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu spoke to one of the villagers, Milton Shumba.
We are facing problems of starvation. It's like we are having few, if not little, food which we are being given by well-wishers or non-governmental organizations. So at the present moment, we have sent a petition to the president as a group of those victims which were affected by the Tokwe Mokose Dam. So we sent a petition highlighting our problems.
And what is the latest on your compensation?
It's one of the items in our petition to the president. Some people were paid compensation, but most of the people, they were not paid as yet. So it's one of the items which we have highlighted to the president, that we are suffering. Our homes were destroyed, but we didn't get anything in form of compensation.
What do you want the president to do?
The president, as the head of the state, and as the father of all these people at Tokwe Mokose, we want him to know exactly what is happening at the present moment, what is on the ground, because maybe some of these lieutenants, they are not telling him exactly what is taking place.
That was Tohwe Mokosi villager Meshack Chumba speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Meanwhile, a High Court judge says the expulsion of a senior ZANU-PF member should be handled by the party and not the courts. Correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has the details.
A Harare High Court judge today dismissed an application filed by former Masvingo Provincial Affairs Minister Kudakwashe Basikiti, who was challenging his expulsion from ZANU-PF in May this year. Judge Nembiri Bunu ruled that the former Mwenezi legislator should have exhausted internal remedies before rushing to the courts. The judge said Basikiti should instead appeal to ZANU-PF's Politburo and the Central Committee for recourse. Although Basikiti had argued that President Robert Mugabe, who chairs both organs of his party, was an interested party, and as a result, he would not get a fair trial, the judge ruled that Mr. Mugabe could recuse himself and allow other members of the two committees to hear Basikiti's case. Mr. Mugabe's lawyer, Terence Hussein, welcomed the court's decision.
I think we welcome the decision. I think it was a very cogent, it was very sound, and the judge really critically analyzed the law and applied it.
But Basikiti's attorney, Tendai Biti, said he was instructed to take up the matter with the Constitutional Court of Appeal.
Honorable Basikiti is definitely going to appeal to the Supreme Court in his wisdom. He can't appeal to these very same people who had fired him. And in addition, he can't appeal against nothing. There was no judgment, no ruling from the National Disciplinary Committee. He only learnt about his dismissal in the newspapers.
Basikiti was expelled from ZANU-PF on allegations of plotting together with former Vice President Joyce Mujuru and others to topple Mr. Mugabe. Mrs. Mujuru, Basikiti and others linked to the alleged plot have all dismissed the allegations as frivolous. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 919 medium wave and on the 4930-5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001202-465-0318.
Coming up,
a closer look at Zimbabwe's peace clubs with Sandra Nyaira.
And African societies urged to eradicate practices that hinder the development of women.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
A South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley says she will sign a bill removing the Civil War era Confederate flag from the grounds of the state capital in Columbia.
The International Monetary Fund trimmed its 2015 global economic forecast Thursday, saying the main culprit was weaker growth in the United States, the world's largest economy. The IMF is predicting 3.3% growth across the world this year, down from its 3.5% prediction in April.
Europe is awaiting debt-ridden Greece's latest bailout plan, with Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras racing to produce a package of reforms to keep Athens from being ousted from the 19-nation euro currency bloc.
Pope Francis was greeted by Bolivian President Evo Morales when he arrived Wednesday on the second leg of his three-nation tour of his home continent of South America.
Nigeria's military says it has arrested a suspect believed to have been the main planner of bombings that killed more than 70 people in the cities of Jos and Zaria this week.
And FIFA has expelled former executive committee member Chuck Blazer, who admitted to accepting massive bribes and became an informant in a U.S. government investigation that has shaken the world football body.
Community peace clubs formed by organizations such as Heal Zimbabwe Trust to help rebuild lives in communities whose lives were torn apart by political violence over the years are making a huge difference on the ground as people from diverse cultures and political affiliations learn to live and work together all over again. The peace clubs use the Shona concept of Nimbe, or clubs that bring people from different political parties and backgrounds to work together for the common good of their communities. For perspective on the community peace clubs being used to propagate the message of peace, we turned to Heal Zimbabwe Executive Director Rashid Mahia and the Mbuya Imelda Muriro of Mondoro. Mahia says the main objective of the peace clubs and Nimbes is to bring people together to foster a culture of tolerance within communities where people can work together.
The concept of peace clubs comes from the understanding that rural communities and local communities are peace-loving communities, which is values and principles that bind them together, and that they would rather be peaceful than be violent if they have an option. And therefore, they need to be organized around work and their issues of peace in their communities for them to work towards a peaceful community. So urban communities are naturally peaceful and law-abiding, and they want to be peaceful and to work together. They are tolerant of each other.
Coming to you, Gogo Imelda in Mondoro, can you just explain to us how you as a community have been assisted by those coming to help you in, you know, doing work that is related to peace in your communities?
We get people who come to give us workshops on peace building. They talked about conflicts, different types of conflicts. When there are conflicts in a place, development is hampered and there is no love. What is happening in the country this time is due to conflict. You know, these people who came to us, they are church people. They got together, thought, you know, they should come to us and talk to us about, you know, getting rid of conflict. There are conflicts, personal conflicts, and there are conflicts with the groups, conflicts, you know, with, even with political groups. And we get these conflicts even in the family. These people help us a lot.
Yes, thank you, Gogo Imelda. Let me just go to Mr. Mahia. As you can hear, Mr. Mahia, Gogo Imelda is appreciating the work that is being done by the churches and groups like Heal Zimbabwe in bringing together people from diverse cultures and political affiliations. In terms of political violence, Mr. Mahia, how have you been finding it in terms of trying to get access to areas which were very difficult to access in terms of political violence? How are you managing in those communities?
We have been able to access communities that have been affected by political violence by working through social gatherings, identifying common community platforms that bring people together regardless of political affiliation. These are social community groups and gatherings that would not create a sense of suspicion when people come together. We have tried to use these platforms on the basis that communities are naturally difficult to access because of the administrative and legal challenges that are put by politicians. Also because of the laws that give us a need to be able to get to notify the police of some of the activities that are taking place. And then a lot of problems, a lot of challenges are placed on the way so that people don't meet. The second challenge has been that we normally work through traditional leaders and the church. But our traditional leaders are part of local government. Then being part of local government, at one point or another, at some level, they are controlled by the minister and the ministry of local government, which then brings in the political affiliation. So in situations where you want to go into a community and your message is perceived to be a message that is giving the impression that there is no peace because you're talking about peace. Because when you talk about peace, they ask, why are you talking about peace when we are peaceful people? They do not appreciate the concept of negative peace, where people just pretend that they are happy and peaceful together, but it's merely out of fear.
Going back to you, Gogo Imelda, in terms of what Mr. Mahia is talking about, how has your community been welcoming the people who are bringing the message of peace and trying to rebuild your community?
People do accept, you know, that message, but the, you know, the background, political background, people tend to act according to who they are in politics, and that is really causing differences between people.
That was Ambuya Imelda Muriro of Mondoro in Mashonaland West. You also heard the views of Executive Director Rashid Mahia of Heal Zimbabwe Trust, an organization helping to rebuild Zimbabwe through various peace initiatives. They were speaking with Studio 7 Sandra Nyaira.
Women who attended the Women of Dominion Conference in Cincinnati, Ohio, here in America a few days ago, testify about the impact of the church conference.
My name is Vimba Mpondi. I live in Columbus, Ohio. I'm here, Women of Dominion Conference, to worship the Lord, to give Him praise, take home, to reverence God, not to take God for granted, to live in purity. So I'm working on myself to put myself together, even if it means I have to remove some people from my phone, that I know when I talk to them, I end up hearing some stuff or gossiping.
My name is Dolan Chakona, Berera Mashingo, that's where I am from. Currently, I'm staying in South Africa with my kids. I'm actually blessed to attend this conference. It was all easy for me to get a visa, and all the way, you know, I was just sailing.
Our vision is to, first, to empower women all over the world. Our second vision is to globalize it and make it an international thing. I think in the future, we are going to incorporate other nationalities, because so far, we have women from Zimbabwe, we have women from Canada, from England. We are going to be looking at other nationalities if people allow us to use a different language like English. Because right now we are using Shona. Other people don't come because of that. But the main thing we are going to be doing is to just switch from Shona to English so that everybody will hear when they come for these conferences.
Those were women who recently attended a church conference in Cincinnati, Ohio, here in the U.S.
African societies must eradicate practices that hinder the development of women and allow them to fully participate in decision-making processes that affect their lives. That from a panel of five Mandela Washington Fellowship participants who appeared in the U.S. Congress today to discuss African governance and leadership. Studio 7's Ntungamili Nkomo attended the event and filed this report.
The panelists said it is time for Africa to abandon its traditions that disadvantage women and adopt open-minded practices that empower them to take charge of their own destiny. They also called on young people to desist from violence, especially during elections, and instead fully participate in electoral processes so as to achieve their desired outcomes. Speaking after the panel discussion, Hlanganani Gumbi of the Opposition Democratic Alliance in South Africa told Studio 7 while they have a relatively stable political system in his country, he is very worried about events in Zimbabwe.
I'm concerned about the political situation in Zimbabwe. I'm concerned about rulers and people who stay in power beyond a certain period of time.
Gumbi also urged young people to tap into the power of social media to engage their political leadership. Another panelist, Pamela Kanora, a political scientist in Tanzania, said democracy can never be complete without youth participation. Hence, the need for young people to fully engage in all the processes.
I wish that America would give more support to domestic election observation.
Her views were echoed by Eric Besong, a health professional from Cameroon. The five fellows, who are all interning with the Howard University in Washington, said they were excited about the opportunity to speak in Congress today. Fatu Oguche of the Independent National Electoral Commission in Nigeria is also at Howard University. She says the recent peaceful power handover in Nigeria must be a good example for African leaders.
The world was surprised because everybody just thought, you know, everything was going to go haywire after the elections. So I think other countries in Africa have a lot to learn.
Although there were no Zimbabwean fellows in Congress, there are 30 of them under the Mandela Washington Fellowship. Reporting for Studio 7 from the U.S. Congress, I am Ntungamili Nkomo.
Thank you, Ntungameli. That's all we have for you tonight. My name is Thandekile Mhlanga.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. This is Jonga Kandemiri wishing you a very good night.